Good morning, each one. Special welcome on this Communion Sunday. Appreciated Brother Titus's devotions. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Do you remember that? Can you remember that time in your life when you were doomed, when you had no hope? But because of what Christ has done, because of the hope that he has given us, we had new life. We want to remember Jesus this morning. And part of remembering is thinking about what Jesus has done for us. Our memories are so short. And you know, we just forget. We forget some of the most important things that has ever happened in our life. I guess the greater the event, the less we tend to forget. But it's a huge event to have our sins forgiven and to have new life in Jesus Christ. And I simply ask you this morning, do you remember that? Can you remember that peace and the joy? It is such a wonderful experience to sit with the new Christians and to hear that testimony of peace, to see it on their face, because their soul is at rest. They know that Jesus forgave them. Their sins are forgiven. This morning, again, we want to stop and we want to remember what Jesus has done for us. And you know, we just remembered this 6 months ago. We just remembered this a year ago. We just remembered this every 6 months. We have this service. But again, it's because our minds are so prone to forgetfulness. Or maybe we just begin to live our life and we just stop, we don't think. And so this morning, we just want to stop and think. We just want to stop and think about what Jesus has done for each one of us this morning. I had to wonder if you can remember the first communion you ever took part in. And for each one of us, that'd be a different time and a different place, different church group. And I don't know that I can. I think back and I don't remember it. And the point is, again, our minds are so prone to forgetfulness. Maybe you remember. Maybe you remember the first time you partook of the bread. But it's good for us to stop and to remember this morning. Jesus wants us to remember. Turn with me to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 15. It said, "And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not be any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." And so I want to point out of verse 19, it says, "This do in remembrance." We know that communion is a time of thinking about Jesus Christ, of just simply remembering. Remembering of what Jesus has done for us. "This do in remembrance." And of course, we always read the verses in 1 Corinthians 11 that says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to remember of who he was. Now, I thought it was not fitting, but we have had the passing of some loved ones in this congregation. And This past Thursday, we gathered here to remember Sister Julie, the passing of our sister. And they gave these little cards this little memory cards. And you know, this morning, Jesus has given us a memory card, and he says, I want you to remember me. I don't want you to forget me. This morning, I sat down at my desk, and I saw this card, and I remembered. I remembered Sister Julie. There's something about the passing of a loved one that causes us to stop and to think about what they have done and the influence that they've had on my life, the influence that they had on this church family's life. And when you stop and you think about the influence that Sister Julie had on our congregation, you know it's a memory, isn't it? It's a memory that's going to stay with us, I trust, for a long time. And you know, unless we continue to remind ourselves, in 10 years, we'll probably forget. In 10 years, I'll say, do you remember Sister Julie? And there will be some here that says, no, who was that? And maybe I'll have to say, well, remember the older lady that would sit there in the center aisle? Oh, yeah. Our minds are so prone to forget. And you think about all the people that have come through our, influenced our lives, and have passed on into eternity. Each one holds memories in our heart. Grandparents, parents, family members. And so it says, in memory of Julie Carter, entered into her into life 1949 and entered into rest 2025. And so this morning I want to have a memory card of what Jesus has done for us. We just want to stop and we want to think about Jesus. We want to think about what his life was like all those many years ago. Because he says, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to forget me. I want you to stop and take time out of your busy lifestyles to think about me this morning. When a person passes, the first thing we do is we want to follow the person's wishes. So whether it was Sister Frances or whether it was Sister Julie, the first thing we said was, what is her desire? What does she want people to remember her by? Does she have any songs that she wants to sing? Does she have any special scripture verses? Does she have anyone that she wants to speak at the service? And so this morning, we stop and we think about Jesus Christ and we say, what is his wishes for us as people that are celebrating a memorial event for his death? What is his will? What does he want us to do? In 1 Corinthians 11:26, where we read it, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And that word show is, you publicly talk about it. You publicly preach it, declare it. You make a statement about his death. You do show the Lord's death till he come. And so we don't want to forget. We want to remember what Jesus has done for us. We also want to commemorate their life. And you know, when you commemorate your life, you need to stop and to think about the different aspects of how their life has influenced you. We did that for Sister Julie. We talked about her desire to be in the house of the Lord, her desire to serve, her desire to worship, her desire for singing, her desire to be with the people of God. It was trademarks of her life. This morning, we're here to commemorate the life of Jesus Christ and to stop and to think about what were his trademarks. What was he known by? We're here to think about his suffering and his death, to think about everything that he went through so that we can have life, so that we can be a new creature in Christ. What did he go through? We want to commemorate his life this morning. At a memorial service, we read comforting songs. We sing. We comfort each other. And so this morning, we think about the tremendous suffering of Christ. But through that suffering, we still comfort ourselves. Jesus wants us to be comforted. John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. All those many years ago, the words of Jesus saying, I am going to come back for you, my friends, my family. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come and share life together. Another thing that we do at a memorial service is we convey feelings for the life of the deceased. And we put up pictures. When you walked in at Julie's service, there was a board back there that had a picture memory of her life. This morning, we have a table in front of us that as we look at it, we think about Jesus. We call it the emblems. It takes our minds to what Jesus has done. This morning, we're here to commemorate what Jesus has done. So let's think about this Jesus. Let's think about what kind of a man was he. We're going to think a little bit about it, then we're going to go and read the story. But who was Jesus like all those many years ago? Well, the scripture tells us, wasn't it? And you know, there's so many aspects. I wonder if you were to compile a list, let's say 10 of the biggest traits of who Jesus Christ was, what would you write down? Well, one of the first ones I think about is how compassionate he was. Jesus was this compassionate person that cared about all the individual people in his life. He cared about the suffering people. He cared about the needs. He cared about what each person was going through. And he was compassionate. He would stop his day to visit with people. He cared. He was a very compassionate person. The scripture talks about how he saw the crowds of people as sheep without a shepherd. And he loved them. And it moved him to compassion to do something for them. Isaiah 40 verse 10 says, Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. It's a prophetic scripture of who Jesus was. Of his compassion, how he cared about the struggling little lamb, and how he would pick that little lamb up in his arm. And you see this illustrated many times of Jesus holding the little lambs in his arm. That's who our Jesus was. That's who we want to think about this morning. That's who we need to stop and remember of the traits of our Lord and Savior, compassionate nature. Isaiah 49:13 says, Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon the afflicted. Chapter 30, verse 18, And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. Psalm 116:5, Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Verses, many, many, many verses that we could talk about. We could spend the entire sermon talking about the compassion, the compassionate Lord, the compassionate Jesus that came to this earth and he met people's needs. It's a trademark of who he was. Jesus was of serious nature. He was focused with his life. We see a lack of that in the world around us, don't we? But when we begin to stop and think about and contemplate who was Jesus, what was his trademarks, what was his characteristics, he was a serious individual. He was concerned about his life. At 12 years old, He told his parents, "Don't you understand? I must be about my father's business." At 12 years old. It's tremendous. He was focused on what his father wanted him to do. And not only did he do the will of the Father, but he was surrendered to the will of the Father. Whatever his Father in heaven wanted him to do, he was willing to do it. It was a trademark of who Jesus was. John 5:9 says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things whosoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Just verses that talk about how Jesus was committed to doing the will of the Father. He wasn't here to do whatever he wanted to do. He wasn't here to have fun. He was here to do the will of the Father. His heart was one of mercy and forgiveness. We're talking about remembering Jesus, remembering of his personality, remembering what and who he was. He had a heart of mercy and forgiveness. And you see that all throughout his life. As he met with people, he would extend mercy. He would extend forgiveness. And the ultimate, when he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's who our Jesus was. His reputation was flawless. When his name would come up, there you could not find any fault with him. He was flawless. He was a good man. He was an honest man. He was one that lived up to his words. His life was honest and good. He was easy to visit with. I believe Jesus was one of those people that you enjoyed just sitting down and having a one-on-one. We're remembering his characteristics. We're just kind of going through and we're just thinking about who this person was, this Jesus. This was a man that made you feel right at home. He was a man that just come right down on your level and you could visit one-on-one. Jesus was patient. He was patient with men. He understood the frailty of men. His disciples got tired. His disciples wanted to go do great things. Jesus was patient with them. Think about all the times that Jesus had to work with his frail disciples. And yet, he always had time. I don't know that Jesus ever got frustrated with them. Occasionally he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." But he understood their frustrations. These things are worth remembering. As we just think back, because our minds are so prone to forget. And I know these were just very, very simple points. But we need to remember who we're celebrating this morning. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. If you were to say, what's the most important thing that our Jesus did in his life that is the most important thing worth remembering, what would it be? I think it's a suffering in his death. See, the things that we've been talking about, he was a good man. And the character traits that we just got done talking about was the character traits that any one of you this morning can have. We're supposed to be an honest person. We're supposed to be patient. We're supposed to have all those characteristics that our Lord and Savior had. But the one that stands out the most in our minds is the suffering that Jesus did for us. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who of his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, whose stripes ye were healed. For ye are as a sheep gone astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He suffered. He reviled. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Jesus suffered for me. That's what we need to remember this morning. That's what we are here to remember, the suffering of Jesus. Not because he was a bad man, but because he did it for the love of mankind. He did it for you and I this morning. 1 Peter 3, verse 17 says, "For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." This was a perfect man. We know this Jesus. We know Jesus had nothing in his life, and yet he suffered and died for me. You go to Matthew 27, where we see Jesus standing before the judgment seat, and they were trying to find fault with him. And Pilate says, "I find no fault in this man. I find no fault. He was a perfect man. He was blameless. There was nothing they could find fault with." And so we have a perfect man, nothing that he did that was wrong. He was innocent. I find no fault. He was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. And he died on the cruel cross. Turn with me to Matthew 27. Would like to read this account of Jesus suffering and dying for me and for you this morning. Matthew 27, I'd like to start reading at verse 26. Verse 26, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote on his head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, and put his own raiment with him on him, and led him away to be crucified." Let's just stop there and just think about that cruel treatment that was given to Jesus. This innocent man that has done no wrong, treated like a criminal, spit upon, hit in the face, a crown of thorns that were inches long, just beat down onto the head. The pain, the suffering. Why? Because he did it for you and for I. After that they had mocked him, they took his robe off from him, put on his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. And they came out, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by his name, whom they compelled to bear the cross. And when they were come out to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set over his head the accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And the story continues on. That's our Jesus. The suffering that Jesus went through for you and I this morning. The excruciating pain. The accountant Peter just lumps it all together and he says, Jesus suffered for us. But can we understand the depth, the pain, the suffering that Jesus went through so that we can have life this morning? Can we see the Jesus, blood dripping from his torn body, and then being made to carry the cross when his body was already racked in pain and suffering, and then to have an old tree slung across his shoulder and he had to carry it, and he stumbled and he was weak and he didn't have the strength and he could just hardly do it. And people sat there and laughed and made fun of him. That's the Jesus that we are to see this morning. The Jesus that laid himself out on that cross and allowed himself to be nailed to the cross for me. The song says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set us free. Why didn't he? Why didn't Jesus say, "I'm not doing it. I can't do it. It's too much"? But that's not our Jesus. Our Jesus had that kind of love in his heart for mankind. And he wanted to do the will of the Father. And he understood that this is what he had to go through. He had to give his life so that mankind could have life. Do we see that Jesus this morning? Are we remembering him? Or are we seeing Jesus of what he did for you and I? The very Jesus that created the universe, the one that created nature, the one that created water, was the very one that said, I thirst. Isn't that so ironic? The very thing that he created, the very thing that he craved, just a cup of water. And he could have created it and took care of his own needs. And he said, I thirst. And yet he suffered. He suffered so that we could have life. The very creator that created the rocks, the iron ore, found himself being nailed to the cross with some old rusty spikes. That was his death. Jesus' death was just once. It was all inclusive. We knew that all through the Old Testament that they sacrificed after sacrifice after sacrifice, looking to a time when there would be that perfect Lamb of God. And here we have him, giving his life, one all-inclusive death, so that all of mankind can be saved. That's worth remembering. That's worth talking about this morning. That's worth commemorating. That's why we're here this morning, to think about what Jesus has done for all of us. Jesus suffered. Jesus' suffering was necessary because of my sin. That's why he suffered. It was because of my sin. Romans 3:23 says, for we have all sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We need this suffering Savior this morning. We need him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus suffered so that we could have life. Jesus also suffered that so that we can have a relationship with God. Romans 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What is our response to a suffering Savior? Well, it's that we would want to suffer with him, that we would want to give our lives to him, that we would allow Jesus to cleanse our life and that we could experience new life in him. Jude 1:24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's our Lord and Savior, the one that is not dead. We're thinking about his suffering and his death, but the grave could not keep him. There's a power here that is far beyond our imagination. See, when we have a funeral service, there's a certain negative feeling that the body is gone. They're dead. But not our Lord and Savior. He's alive. He's on the right hand of God, interceding for us this morning. And he wants us to stop this morning to consider him, to stop and to think about what he went through, that we can have life, that we can have a relationship with him. He lives. The grave cannot contain him. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 15. It just talks about the hope that we have. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God whom he raised up from Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. That's what gives us the hope this morning. That's what gives us the joy in our Christian life. Because Christ is risen. He's not dead. He had the power to over the grave and he came forth. It's not Easter Sunday, but it is so fitting. He lives forever. And his presence is with us today. This King, this Jesus, the one that suffered, the one that came and lived among mankind, is now in heaven. And he's coming back. He's coming back for his people. And the scripture says that we are to commemorate the Lord's Supper. We're to commemorate his suffering and death, and to think about his return, to think about his coming again. He's coming again. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of an almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we are to remember this morning. Our Lord and our Savior is coming back as a king. I trust this morning, as we partake of the emblems, and as we think about our suffering Savior, and as we think about the time that he lived on this earth and his life, may our hearts be challenged to be ready when he comes back to take us home. God bless.